It's Here and Now. I'm Jeremy Hobson, broadcasting today from WUNC in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And I actually went to two church services yesterday morning, very different churches. The first was the Pullen Memorial Baptist Church in Raleigh. The second was the Edgerton Memorial United Methodist Church in the town of Selma, population 6,000. It's about 30 miles outside of Raleigh, and it's miles away politically as well. Pastor Josh Kurtz is giving the sermon on this Sunday morning in a service that begins with a prayer.
We pray for those who are experiencing sickness and disease, for those who are in the Middle East, for those of our brothers and sisters who are in Hong Kong. God, let perpetual light shine and rain down your Holy Spirit upon all of us and upon this world.
The church is a little less than half full, and in a town where 30% live below the poverty line, perhaps it's not surprising that one of the first orders of business is an announcement that the church may end the year $10,000 in the hole. So, the treasurer says, tough choices will have to be made. There is no mention of Senate candidates Kay Hagan or Tom Tillis in today's sermon, but there is a lot of talk of an American dream that Pastor Kurtz believes is changing.
Over the years, I have found that the American dream has been skewed, and it's become this consuming burden of wanting more and wanting the best and wanting what you can't have and constantly desiring possessions, desiring things. Pursuing more than we have, just to say that we have more. What do we do when we want it now and we don't have the money that we need to pay for these things? Then enters the credit cards. The credit cards and the debt, something that economists call credititis. Credititis is this opportunity for us to buy now and to pay later. Did you know that the average American credit card this past month was over $15,000 in debt? There's a deeper struggle, though, than this I want it now and this self-satisfying swiping of the card. There's a deeper issue and a deeper struggle involved. Brothers and sisters, that is that we are broken.
The parishioners listen attentively. Some glance down at a note in the program that includes six key financial principles. Number five, pay off all credit card debt and use cash, not credit cards. I asked Pastor Kurtz what he was trying to say there and if he intended a political message.
We're trying to be a church that not only reaches out but lends a hand up and not just a handout, so people can kind of break that cyclical pattern that we enter into sometimes.
So I could hear two things there. I could either hear that that is a liberal message of compassion and helping the poor, and at the same time I could hear Washington is spending money it doesn't have. It's more of a conservative message.
I think we live into that tension here, and am grateful for a denomination that doesn't necessarily pick sides but seeks to live into the tension and wrestles with that. I'm a cradle Methodist and have been born into this denomination from parents that are both pastors in this denomination. And I see people on both sides and experience life with people on both sides that have deep, deep convictions and leanings towards political parties and sides. But we set that down and realize that our deepest identity, our truest identity is in Christ.
Do you think that the church, though, plays a role in motivating people to at least go out and vote?
Sure, absolutely. I think that's our role as citizens and as people that we are called to speak out, but to speak out in a way that's faithful to the gospel and faithful to who we are in Christ.
The church's members are split politically, just like the state of North Carolina. After the service, I spoke with several of them, starting with Norvin Brown, who says he will vote for Tom Tillis.
Oh, yes, be conservative.
And what are the main issues that are most important to you?
Oh, just about everything, economy, jobs, welfare, and stuff like that.
Well, we heard a lot in there about people taking care of their own finances and making sure that they're not overspending. Did you hear a political message in that?
A little bit, yes.
And what was it?
Well, that you need to watch your finances and not spend what you don't have.
Do you think that's happening right now in Washington?
Definitely not.
Just a few feet away, I find Bob Crossgrove, who says he joined the church after his wife passed away. He is supporting Kay Hagan, the issue he cares most about.
Well, education, and the fact that Tom Tillis has cut funds for education. It's a crime that in North Carolina, teachers are one of the lowest paid teachers in the whole United States. And this is supposed to be a progressive state. And it's just ridiculous. I mean, there's many teachers here today who are in this congregation, and they're not making, basically not, if they were on their own, they wouldn't be making a living wage. And they'd have to have a second job, and that's just not right.
How important is faith in your vote?
Well, my beliefs, probably, yes. But, you know, I don't find it often affects the way I vote. And now, I am a Democrat, but I do vote for Republicans also. Just depends on the candidate.
That's something you hear a lot here in North Carolina, a state that went for Obama in 2008, but not in 2012. Denise Pinkerton thinks she's going to vote for Tom Tillis.
I think we need to get something done with the... I think we're in a deadlock in Washington, and he has proven that he can stick to what he says here and get things done, which... I like Kay Hagan, too, and I voted for her the last time, but I don't think that she has been progressive enough.
You don't think she's been progressive enough, meaning what?
Meaning that she has been not worked with Republicans enough to get something done.
Well, what made you vote for her last time around?
I liked what she had to say, and I thought she would go up there and do what she was going to do, but I don't feel... But in her defense, I think she's had a hard thing to accomplish up there with, because if you go against your party, then you're, you know, kind of an outcast, and I know she's had to deal with that too.
But you're going to switch and vote for Tom Tillis?
I think I am, but I'm not 100%.
Interesting. So what would sway your vote in this last month?
If one of them would come out and say actually what they're for, and instead of talking about the other one, if they would just come out and say, I stand for this, I stand for that. I'm actually a non-affiliated voter.
Is there anything that would make you stay home and not go and vote at all?
No. Unless I couldn't get there. I'm going to vote.
Denise Pinkerton at the Edgerton Memorial United Methodist Church in Selma, North Carolina. Our election week continues Wednesday when we'll be in Macon, Georgia.